The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Truma. In Parshas Truma, we are commanded in the building of the Mishkan, which ultimately became the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan is the sanctuary of which Klal Yisrael built immediately after the receiving of the Torah, except they received the Torah on Sinai on Shavuos, which was 7 weeks after the going out of Egypt. But then when Moshe came down, there was the whole episode of the Egel Azov, the golden calf, and that delayed things because he broke the Luchais, the tablets, and he returned to the mountain for a second 40 days and then for a third 40 days until finally he brought the Luchais Hashniyais, the second tablets, which was on Yom Kippur. And immediately after Yom Kippur is when this takes place, that he was instructed to command the people in the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary. And this went with Klal Yisrael throughout the desert, 40 years, and also for many years after they had come into Eretz Yisrael. It was in a number of places. Then finally, in the days of David HaMelech, King David, and Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, it found its permanent place in Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis. The Kotel HaMaravi, the western wall, is the remnants of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the western wall of the outside of the compound of the Beis HaMikdash. And in this parsha, we are commanded to build it and to prepare all of the various vessels, the Kli HaMishkon. This was a mitzvah asei, a positive commandment in the Torah, as it states in Posuk, Ches v'osuli migdosh, you shall make for me a sanctuary. And not only was this a single mitzvah, but there are many, many other mitzvahs that are built on this mitzvah. Because through the Beis HaMikdash, we fulfilled many mitzvahs at Torah. For example, all of the korbonos, the sacrifices, the coming to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shleish Rogolim, three times a year on the Yontif, the Korban Pesach, and so forth. And this represents one of the prime mitzvahs of the Torah, because the Beis HaMikdash played a very, very great role in our lives, and in Yirtzeh Hashem it will do so again when, in the time of the Melech HaMashiach, that we will all be returned to our land and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. The question is why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need a Beis HaMikdash? Even though the Torah tells us, V'osuli migdosh v'shochanti b'seichon, make for me a migdosh, a sanctuary, that I may dwell amongst you. So we see that the purpose of it was in order that he may dwell amongst you in this world. And this is what the Chazal referred to as Hashroz Ashchina betachtonim, that he wanted to bring his Shechina into this world, the lower world. The fact is, the Mikdosh had two names. It was called Mikdosh, which means sanctuary, and it was also called Mishkan. Mishkan comes from the word Shochein, which meant dwelling place. It was the dwelling place, or through this Hashem dwelled. But this also needs explanation as to what does it mean that he wanted to dwell in this world. The fact is, the Medrash Rabbah brings in this parshan, Perek Lamed Aleph, that when Moshe was commanded on this mitzvah, So he was timea. He was puzzled. And he said, Hare kfeide mole kol elam kula. Kodesh Baruch Hu, your presence and your honors in the entire universe, beyond the entire universe, what do you need a home for here, a small home? What did this represent? The answer to this is, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Chazal tell us, he created two worlds. The Olam HaElyon, the higher world, which was Bilti Gashmi. Could you tell him this? Too much. Elyon, a higher world, which was Bilti Gashmi, which was non-physical. And an Olam HaTachton, a lower world, which was physical. And it is written, Ki Betzor, Ki Bekor, Elokim Tzur Elomim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created worlds. Does not say a world, but plural, worlds. And how did he create them? With the Yud and the He, two letters of his name. With the Yud, he created the upper world, and with the He, he created the lower world. What did this designate? The letter Yud has no physical dimension. The letter, Hebrew letter Yud, when it is written merely as a dot, a nakuda. And a nakuda, a dot, no matter how many times you divide it, it's still a dot. So it has no physical dimension. This represented the Olam HaElyon, the higher world, which has no physical makeup. The hay has in it dimensions. The hay has a horizontal line. It has a vertical line. This represents dimensions. Dimensions are physical because you're measuring something which has a beginning and an end and which goes in various directions. With this he created the lower world, the physical world. Now, we have two worlds. When it comes to people, you have people who have different types of conduct, different types of outlooks. Firstly, you have people that live basically in the lower world. They pursue a materialistic life. They are solely interested in fulfilling their desires, the desires of their body, the desires of their heart. Like the Rambam writes in Deyas, he says, there are those people that say, Achol shesei ki mochor mamus, eat and drink, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And they give all of their energies, all of their keches, all of their times, which is allotted to them on this world, in trying to acquire and in trying to enjoy or to take possession of as much of the physical world as they can. Be it from the money, be it from what's good to eat here. And they live in a world of deceit. Chazal tell us, Hakina, Vahataiva, Vahakoved, that the three basic drives of men who live in this world is Kina, envy, and desire, and pursuit for glory. This will be made seen as Odom min Olam. This will destroy a person. In such case, this world, the physical world, the material world, is not a very beautiful world. It becomes a world of disappointment, a world of shallowness, a world of disease, and whatnot. Also, such pursuits brings one to deny the existence of anything higher. And people who dedicate their lives in such a manner, they become the Kofrim. They deny in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they deny in another world, because if they believed in another world, they would not put all of their energies into this world. Like Esav. Esav told Yaakov, what do I need the birthright for? That's for the reward of the next world. And he says, I'm interested in this world. The Kofar B'tchias HaMeshim. And this is what you find with the materialists or the liberals of today. They constantly organize their lives. They constantly create sets of laws and morals, so-called morals, that will merely satisfy their material pursuits or their worldly pursuits here. So this is one type of people that you have. Then you have another type of people that's just the opposite. They forsake this world. They leave this world and they try to live totally in a higher world. They disdain the physical pleasures of this world. They disdain anything that's material. And they live a life of a person who, like the Rambam brings, is misage v'satzmon, they self-affliction and self-denial. They afflict themselves with fasts and with other types of hardships. He says this was the way of the Avdei Avodah Zarah, of many of the idolaters, of many of the priests of various religions. They will not allow themselves to indulge in beautiful homes, in beautiful clothing, in the comforts of the physical world, in marriage, and so forth. Many of them will go off to isolated places to live. Many of them will only enjoy or try to enjoy the non-physical elements of the world. This also, the Rambam writes, Gamzu derech rohi miod. This also is not the way. Because they're trying to live as malochim, they're trying to live as angels of the non-physical world, when they happen to be physical human beings. So this also is not good. You have a third type of person that he recognizes there are two worlds, and therefore he divides his life. He allocates some of his life to a non-physical life and the rest of his life to a physical world. For example, you have by many of the nations of the world that on Sunday or another particular day of the week, they will go to their bote kinesios, they will go to their churches, and they will devote that day to Hashem, to the Almighty. The rest of the week, they'll devote to themselves. It's something like chatzi lochem and chatzi lashem, half to you and half to Hashem. It's a dichotomy. This also, the Chazal teaches, is not the way of Yisrael. This is something that the nations of the world can do. This is like a chameleon, or there was a bird that used to change colors. They will change colors in accordance to the particular situation that they're in. Actually, in America, the modern type of Judaism was criticized by many of the old world Judaism, the old world Yiddishkeit, in this manner. He said these are half day Jews or half week Jews. They can live a life as a Torah Jew one day and as a secular Jew the other day. It's a takarmi. And this also is not the way of Torah, not the way of Klal Yisrael. So how then should a person live a life? We're saying he cannot totally give himself over to this world, he cannot totally give himself over to the next world, and he cannot divide his life, what is half in this world and half in the next world. So how is one supposed to live? The Maral asks a very good question. He asks that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the two worlds with his name, one with a yud and one with a hey, for the reasons given, why was it necessary to create this world with the letter hey? It could have been sufficient with the letter dalet, because we wanted a letter that had a physical makeup, dimensions, a vertical line and a horizontal line. The dalet has a vertical line and a horizontal line. The hay has an additional stroke. What did he need the hay for? He should have created the higher world with the yud, like he did, which is a non-physical world. He should have created this world with a dalet, which represents a world of physical dimension. Why with a hay? The answer is as follows. What's the difference between the dalet and the hay? The dalet has the two dimensions, vertical, a line, and horizontal. The hay has the two dimensions, but the hay has an additional stroke. That additional stroke is a yud. A sofer that writes Sifrei Torah, he knows that when he writes a hay, it's a dalet with a yud. On the left side of the hay, at the bottom, you add a yud. And if you add a yud, then you get, from a dalet and a yud, you get a hay. He created this world with a dalet and with a yud. Why? A dalet, like we explained, what's the yud for? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to make two separate worlds. He wanted to make one world from both of them. And in order that the one world, the two worlds, should be one, he took the element of the Olam HaElyon, the Elam HaBilti Gashmi, the spiritual world, he took the yud from there and incorporated it into the dalet, which created this world, in order that there should be a chibor, there should be a bond between both worlds, and both worlds will be one world. Had he created it merely with a yud and a one world, a yud and the other a dalet, there would be two worlds that could never come together. One is spiritual, the other is physical. But taking the yud from the spiritual and placing it into the physical world, into that letter which created the physical world, now both worlds become one. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create. He wanted to create two worlds that are like himself, that are one, not two. And now the two become a new dimension. Just like if you take a yud and you take a dalet, it's not a yud with a dalet. It's a new dimension. It becomes a hey. This was Hashem's plan. Now this plan is what is known as the Kedushas Hagashmias, the sanctification of the physical world. Had he created merely a spiritual world, then there would not be any sanctification of the physical. Had he created a world which was totally physical, there still would have not been any sanctification of the physical.
This way, by blending both worlds into one, you have a different dimension, a kedushas agashmi, a sanctification of the physical, a spiritual world which is imbued inside of a physical world, and they become one. This was the purpose of the creation. This was the purpose of him sending the Torah down to this world. And the ultimate manifestation of this is in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan. Because if we examine for a minute what was the purpose, what was done in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, everything that was done there was done very physically. Here we have a parsha which tells us how to build it, with what materials, with zov, gold, kesef, silver, copper, wools, linens, skins, wood, jewels, stones. This is how it was built. I would think that if Hashem wants a home, and we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical, he will build a spiritual home for himself. So what's he building homes out of these materials for? Gold and silver and copper and skins and wools and linens and stones and jewels. What was the main function of the Beis HaMikdash? There were two main functions of the Beis HaMikdash the Rambam brings. One is that Kol Yisrael could come together to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year. And secondly, that there should be a Bayis Muchan LeKorbanos, a house which is set aside for the sacrificing to Hashem. What were the sacrifices? You took animals. You took a cow. You took a sheep. You took a goat. You took a bird. You took wheat. You took barley. You took oil, you took wine. It's all physical. And this you offer to Hashem. I would say you offer something to Hashem. Let it be spiritual. The Beis HaMikdash, contrary to popular belief, when people think of the Beis HaMikdash, they think of something which is totally set aside from this world. The Beis HaMikdash was not set aside from this world. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to come into the very depths of this world, into the lowest levels of this world. You're talking about farm animals. You're talking about what grows from the ground. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that not that his kedusha, his sanctity, should be limited to the heavens. For that he didn't need a world. But he wanted his sanctity to be brought down to the lowest levels of this world. For that he needed an earthly world. And for that he needed a home in this world. Because without that, his abode would be in the heavens. And the manifestation, the greatest manifestation of that, was the Mishkan. Actually, all mitzvahs are the manifestation of that. But the greatest level was the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. So this is why he said, also the Mikdash, take all of these earthly materials. And also, the Beis HaMikdash was to have a permanent place. Where was its permanent place? Under earth. In Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is very physical. Har HaBayis is very physical. Also, Limigdash Vishokhanti Besechom, in order that I can come into this world. I do not want to remain in the heavens. That's not why I created the universe. I created the universe so the Kedusha, the sanctity of the heavens, should extend into the very depths of the earthly world. And how will it? By you sanctifying the earthly world. Therefore, take only dafka, only earthly materials. It cannot be done otherwise. And the most earthly materials. And build for me an abode that I may come here and dwell with you. This is what the sages mean, that Hashroz Hashchina betachtonim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to dwell here, not there. Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Tomeya, what do you need a home here for? You have the whole universe. And then he answered, I have the whole universe, but I have no home here. This Klal Yisrael has to make for me. Because only Yisrael that can make out of the two worlds one world and be able to sanctify the lowest levels of this world, they will make a home for me here. Otherwise I will not be able to dwell here. This is why the Mishkan, the Mikdash, was called Mishkan, from the word Shochein, that I will dwell here. Now the Midrash tells us in Perek Lamed Gimel of this Parsha, Os Ches, states as follows: Torah tziva lonu Moshe Marosha kihilas Yaakov. Moshe commanded us the Torah, Marosha kihilas Yaakov, and it shall be an inheritance to all of the communities of Yaakov. The Midrash says, Marosha al tikere Marosha elame orosha. Do not refer to this as Morosha, as an inheritance, but Morosha, which means a betrothed. The Torah is considered as a kala that becomes betrothed to Yaakov, to Yisrael. Why? It gives an interesting example. It says, Ma chosen ze, kol zman shele nosa arusosai, hu have paradoren lebeis chomov. A chosen, betrothed a kala, but he doesn't marry her yet, totally. He hasn't taken her to his home. So she still lives in her father's home, and he lives in his home. So what is he? So the Medrash uses a word, it's a strange word, paradoren. The commentators deal with it. What does that word mean? It comes from the word paredo. Paredo means separate. The choson is a guest, a visitor in the kala's home, in the father-in-law's home. They're not married yet, so he comes to visit. When he's finishing visiting, he goes back home. Mishanoso. But then a strange thing happens. Once he gets married, not only doesn't have to visit his kala anymore, because his kala comes home with him, but the father-in-law becomes a visitor by him. Till he got married, his father-in-law wouldn't come and visit him. Why should his future father-in-law or future mother-in-law come and visit him? So he has to go and visit them. And when he's finished with the visit, he goes back home. Once he gets married to the kala, and he takes the kala to his house, we see it's minhag olam, it's the custom of the land, that the father-in-law and the mother-in-law now will come and visit him, and they'll come and stay by him. Comes a Pesach, they'll come. Comes a Sukkot, they'll come. Why? Why is it? The answer is because they're drawn there now by their daughter. Their daughter's there, and their son-in-law's there. They'll go visit. So it states, Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu. Same thing happened with Hashem. Achalei nitna Torah l'Yisrael. Before Hashem gave Torah to Israel, where was Hashem? It states, nowhere Hashem was. Moshe ol elakim. Moshe had to speak to Hashem. He had to go up on the mountain. He had to go up in the heavens to speak to Hashem. Mishanitna Torah. Once Hashem gave Torah to Israel, Hashem said to Moshe, make for me a sanctuary, a home that I may dwell amongst you. No longer did Moshe have to go up to the heavens. He only went to the Ohel Moed. He would go to the Mishkan. Before he gave Torah to Israel, Kadosh Baruch Hu lived in the heavens. Once he gave Torah to Israel, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu would come and live with Israel. So that's what it means, Torah Tzivalona Mesha. Hashem commanded, Moshe commanded us the Torah. Maorosho ki ilish Yaakov. It's an inheritance to the communities of Yaakov. Al tikrei Maorosho elem Orosho. Do not call it Maorosho, but Maorosho. That it is as if she is betrothed to Israel. And she brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu with her. There's another medrash. This is a medrash we've quoted many times before. This is at the beginning of Parshas Truma. The beginning of Parshas Truma, the question is asked. The previous parsha is Mishpotim. At the end of Mishpotim, it speaks again of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Why the last topic speaks about the giving of the Torah, and then it starts to speak about the making of the Mishkan, Osuli Mishkan, Osuli Migdush. So the Medrash says, he says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Machati Lechem Teirosi, Kaviyochel Nimkati Imo. It states, Hashem said that when I'll give you the Torah, Ki Lekach Tov Nosati Lechem. It's a Lekach Tov. Sometimes when you buy something, there's a sale and a transfer of an item. Sometimes it's a good sale. Sometimes it's good for the buyer. Sometimes it's good for the seller. But we never find that it's so good for the buyer that not only does he acquire the item, but he acquires the seller with the item. If you would buy something and you would acquire not only the item but the seller also, that would be very, very good. So the Medrash says this is why Torah is called the Lekach Tov, was such a good sale. Because when Klal Yisrael took the Torah, not only did they take the Torah, but they took the seller of the Torah also. Who was the seller of the Torah? Hashem. So the Medrash says as follows. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Machati Lechem Teirosi, Kaviyochel Nimchati Imo. I sold you my Torah, it's as if I sold you myself also. An example, that there was a single daughter that belonged to a great king. And one day, a prince came, and he wanted to marry her. And the king saw it was a good shidduch, a good match. So he allowed the prince to marry her. After all of the celebrations, Bikesh leilech leila atzoi lita lishta. So the prince said, it's time that I return to my own land now. I want to take my wife with me. So the king said, Biti shenasati lochi chidoisi. He says, the one that I gave you is my only daughter. Lifrish m'aneini ochel. I cannot let her become separated from me. On the other hand, lema al titla eini ochel. On the other hand, to stop you from taking her, I cannot. Because lefishi ishtecho. Because she's your wife now. So what should I do? I have a predicament. I cannot withhold her from you. On the other hand, I cannot lose her either. So what should I do? Elazu teva asuli. So he said, do this favor for me. She called mokum shahato holech. Kitun echod asili. Wherever you go, build for me a little house. Shed edor etzlechem. Sheini yocho lahaniach es biti. It's like Dinlo saying that wherever you go, build for me a cottage that I may come and stay with you. Because I can't keep her from you, but I can't let her become separated either. So let me go along. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. So did Hashem say, Nosati lochem es HaTorah, I gave you the Torah. The Torah is my only daughter. Livrei shemeno, eni yochol. To be separated from her, I cannot. It says, Kuchi b'richu v'arai sechato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah is one. Leima lochem al titlua. To tell you, do not take it. Eni yochol. Take the Torah, I cannot either, because I've already given to you. Ela b'chol mokim she'atem holchim ba'isecher asuli she'ador b'seichai. So therefore I asked, wherever you go with my Torah, build a little house for me also, that I can live with you. That's what it states, v'osu li nigdosh v'shochanti b'seichom. Make for me a sanctuary in order that I might live with you. From here we see that when Torah was in the heavens, then there was no problem. Once Torah came down into this world, though, it came for the purpose, not that it should not remain in the heavens, but should come into the world. And mitzvahs of the Torah can be fulfilled only with the world, only with the physical world. And the greatest level of mitzvahs of the Torah with this world is the Beis HaMikdash. And this Jew, with the Torah coming down into this world to Israel, they would fulfill the Torah in this world. This now paved the way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to follow and to live in this world. And this was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. This brought the two worlds together into one world. This is the Dalet and the Hay. That this world was created with a Dalet, but even more so was created with a Hay, which means it is the blend of both worlds. Now this is not an easy task, and no nation was capable of doing this except Israel. And this, the shorish, the source of this, actually comes from Yaakov Avinu. The Torah tells us, this is many, many generations before, that when Yaakov ran away from Esau, Esau is the one who represented this world, a materialistic world. When he ran away from him, he went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva and he studied day and night for 14 years, studied Torah. Then when he finished there, he went on his way to the house of Laban to marry Rachel and Leah. On his way, it came night time. Actually, it was really not nighttime, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to stop where he was, so he brought the sun down prematurely. Vayifka b'mokam ahu. And Yaakov saw it became dark, so he says he'll have to stay here, he'll sleep there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tzadik zeh bo, this righteous person is coming to my house, and after Belelina, and I'll send him away without sleeping here. Now, where was this place? Yaakov went to sleep, and in the morning when he got up, he said, "Zeh beis kel, ein zu im beis elokim." This is beis kel. This is the house, the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell. This was the place where the Beis HaMikdash was to be built. And when Yaakov slept, he had a dream. He dreamt of a sula mutzev arzo v'reishe magia l'shamayim. There was a ladder that with its base on the earth and its head into the heavens. This is what he dreamt. What was the significance of this? Yaakov saw that two worlds will be joined into one. And he saw that he was going to be the one that was capable of doing this. Actually, he had inherited from Abraham, his grandfather, one way, and from Yitzchok another way. Abraham was the one who did enormous chesed in this world. Abraham was a man of this world. He dealt with kings, and he dealt with idolaters, and he went from city to city and land to land, and he debated and he fought. And the lowest people of the world he dealt with. When people would come to visit him, he'd tell them to outside to take the dust off their feet, because he was afraid they were idolaters. He was a man of this world. This was the chesed at the grassroots level. Yitzchak was a person who separated himself from this world. He gave his very life and soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was an Ola Tamima. He made a sacrifice out of himself to Hashem. He separated him from this world. So he inherited these two approaches. The Gaonis, the greatness of Yaakov, it states, Ishtam Yosheva Oli, that he was to learn in the tents of Shem Ve'Ever Torah for year after year after year, until he became an Ishtam. An Ishtam means not a half a person, but a full person that would take the two worlds and make one out of them. This was Yaakov. And this was the dream that he had. And the point where they will join the two worlds, where the spiritual will meet the physical, will be at the point of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is where he was traveling through, and this is where he slept. And when he woke up, he realized that. He saw the ladder at this point, going from the earth into the heavens. And he realized that. And he said, Ochein Maneira Adover. I didn't know. He says, this is such an awesome place. Had I known, I wouldn't have slept here. Ein Zu Kim Beis Elokim. This is the house of Hashem. This is Shara Shomayim. This is the gateway to the heaven. And the Rashi brings from the Chazal, what does it mean, the gateway to the heaven? That Beis HaMikdash Shel Malo is Mechuvan the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mato. There's a Beis HaMikdash here and there's a Beis HaMikdash there. And this is, at this point, this is the gateway where the two worlds come together. And this was the Yaakov Ishtam Sholem that could combine these two worlds into one. And this was after he was a Yosheva Olim that he gave year after year after year to Torah. Because only Torah can do this. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah into this world, and that paved the way for him to follow, then we had HaKadosh Baruch Hu was brought down into the Tachtonim, into this world. From here we see that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is l'hashlim, to make one out of two. Not that you have to, that someone can make a life in this world, or someone will make a life only in a non-physical world, or divide the two, but in every part of a person's life he lives in both worlds. The Chavis HaLavavis, which was very often quoted by the Tells of Rosh Yeshivas, by the gift in particular, uses the phrase that a person has to be raglo ben chevros anoshim v'reise b'shamayim, his feet in the society of people, but his head going into the heavens. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos, a person shouldn't think that when he's doing mitzvahs, then he's serving Hashem. But the rest of the time, he's serving himself. See, this is this dichotomy. When he's working, when he's relaxing, when he's having recreation, then he's serving himself. He says, no. Tzorech ha'odim she'chavin libay v'chol ma'asov kulam leida Hashem baruchu b'lad. A person can serve Hashem with every act of his. When he sits, when he stands, when he talks, when he does business, when he labors. If he has the right attitude, then all of this will be mitzvahs Hashem and serving Hashem. If he has the attitude that when he goes to shul, this is for you, Hashem, and then when he goes to his business, this is for me, now that's something else. But if he has the attitude that even when he works, he's working because HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him to work, he's working in order to make a living, in order that he can support his family, himself, and do good things with his money and sustain himself where he can do further good things. When he labors, when he eats, a person eats, the Rambam says, merely to fulfill a physical desire, and this is the end of it, then he says he's kebehemadomi. That's like the animal. Will eat because he has a physical instinct to eat. But if a person will eat because he knows that he has to keep himself strong and healthy, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And if he's strong and healthy, then he can fulfill more of the Ritzein Hashem, more of the will of Hashem. And he is enjoying his food because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the food in order that he should enjoy it. He says, this is all mitzvah. This is Avedas Hashem. Then he's serving Hashem with every act. He says, even when you sleep, it can be mitzvah. If a person sleeps merely because of instinct, all right, then that's not mitzvah. But if you go to sleep because you realize that your body needs it, and he says, in order shalla yichle, that you shouldn't become sick, and you should wake up refreshed so you can again in a new day serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then even the sleeping is mitzvah. And he concludes by saying that this is what Shlema HaMelech said, King Solomon. Behold drochecho de'ehu v'hu yasher orchesecho, that you can come close to Hashem not only through mitzvahs, you can come close to Hashem through every movement of your life. And if this will be your attitude, then he will lead every movement of your life in the proper direction. And on this, based on this, is what HaChazal commanded us, kol ma'asecha yeh l'shem shamayim. All of your acts, whether they have to do with spiritual or non-spiritual or physical, you must direct them all to Hashem. In this way, a Jew, he doesn't live in a physical world, he doesn't live in a spiritual world. He doesn't live a half a day or some days a week in the physical world or some days a week in a spiritual world. He lives in a world which is made up of both and is inseparable. And this is the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, the Maral explains with this. The Chazal tell us that a person should follow the quality of Aaron HaKohen. What were the qualities of Aaron HaKohen? Ayiv Shalom v'Reiv Shalom. Someone who always loved peace and pursued peace. Ayiv Sabrius v'Makarvin LaTorah. Someone who loved people and he would bring them close to Torah. But I'll ask, where do we see that this was the quality of Aaron? It says, you should be from the disciples of Aaron. Where do we see this was the quality? The Torah doesn't tell us this was the quality. So Maral says, because Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. He was the first Kohen. And he imbued all of his sons with his qualities. And these were the qualities of the Kohanim. Because this was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to bring all of Israel together and bring Israel together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That all of the world should be one. And this can only be done through these qualities. When you love people, and you love peace, and you pursue peace, and you want to bring the people close to Torah. One further point, that if we go into this a little further, Mr. Maral tells us, we find that this, what we're describing, is true with the Beis HaMikdash, but actually, this is the Odom Atzmai. What we are describing is the creation of man himself. What was the creation of man? Kodesh Baruch Hu talk earth, and from earth he fashioned a body. And what did he fashion a body from earth? Earth is the lowest element in the universe, and he fashioned Dafka from earth. Now that was the same as the building of the sanctuary from the crushing, from the wood of the trees, or from the gold or the silver of the earth. Then what did Hashem do? It says, "Vayitzor Adam ofra min adoma, vayipach ba'apov nishmas chay." He blew into the nostrils of a person a living soul. What was that? That was the Shekhinah Hashem. State the soul was the part of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to dwell in the heavens. He wanted to dwell in man, in the lowest levels of the world. So he took a part of himself and he blew this into the nostrils of the person. This was the same as the Shekhinah coming down into the Mishkan. But then further, didn't leave it at that, because then man would have been a dual personality. He would have been earthly and he would have been spiritual. Man is not a dual personality. It states, "Vayala Adam lenefesh chaya." He became a third dimension. He became a creation which is known as a nefesh chaya. He became a person. What is a person? A person is not physical, because he has the spiritual portion of Hashem in him. Hashem blew a soul into him. He's not spiritual, because it's a physical structure. So we'll say he's 50% of this and 50% of that, also not. Vayi la'odem lenefesh chaya, he became into a new dimension, which is known as nefesh chaya. This was man. This is Adam. And the same thing with the Mishkan that was made of the wood and the silver and the gold. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into it. Now the whole world became a different world. This is the Hey, the Dalet and the Yud that becomes a Hey. And therefore, this that we are speaking of the Mishkan itself, this is in man himself. That man is capable of achieving what the Beis HaMikdash can achieve. And that's why the Gemara tells us, and I'll explain, the Gemara tells us in the first parak in Masechta Brochas, "Kol mi sheyesh bedas kilu nivne mikdash Beis HaMikdash b'yomam." if a person sanctifies himself with the knowledge of Torah and the qualities of the goodness of Torah, he is building a Beis HaMikdosh in his days, because this was the Binyan Beis HaMikdosh. So therefore, this is what is meant, that we should, on this world, build a Beis HaMikdosh in order that I can dwell amongst you. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kfeide Malei Kol HaOlam, you encompass universes. Why do you have to have a place here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because I want to dwell here amongst you. I want that there should be sanctification in this world. And that's Israel's job. That is Israel's task through their Torah and mitzvahs.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.